All right, so I'm going to start this with... I wish I was recording that beforehand. I'm going to start this with the most ridiculous out-of-place music in the entire movie. It's the most out-of-place. Here we go. All right, if that doesn't say Wonder Woman... I guess it's kind of an Amazonian sort of...
It is. Yeah, sure.
With like... It feels like 300 is what it actually feels like. Anyways, this is Zach Erickson, and this is Nintendo Dad's After Dark. We're doing this super impromptu, but I saw Batman vs. Superman last night.
Episode 8, by the way, folks. Episode 8 of After Dark.
Oh, is it? Nice.
Yeah, because episode 7 was Star Wars. I remember that one.
Oh, that's right. Wow, it's been a long time. We didn't do anything for Daredevil...
You know, I just finished that. You want us to record another episode right after this? Let's just keep rolling through.
Oh, did you really? Let's just do both of them. You know what? Screw it. We'll do both.
All right.
Sure. You know what? We started an hour early. It's only like 10:30. We got lots of time.
Sure.
So, yeah. Anyways. So, let's start with Batman versus Superman. So, okay. I saw it last night. Justin, you saw it like opening weekend?
Yeah. Yes, I did. Yep.
Okay. So, what was your... Here we go. Like, come on. Can we just... I don't know. It's cool. It's cool, but it's just like, I don't know. It's very Zack Snyder, which is so much what this movie is.
So you were at, I think you were saying like, what were my thoughts on it?
Yeah.
Okay. So let's pause right here. Or when I say pause, remember folks, this is After Dark, which means we're full of spoilers. So if you don't want to be spoiled, you haven't seen this movie. It's been out for like a month and a bit now. Go away. If you're okay, stay.
Yeah,
you know?
We don't
a lot of people have been asking us this and like, hey guys, when's your next After Dark? Sorry, we haven't done one for a bit. So let's do it now. So here's my thought going into, okay. So I read Superman and Batman growing up, but I'm not like a foaming at the mouth comic book fiend where I'm like, actually guys, that's not how it goes in Batman. He would never have that.
Mm-hmm.
I am a person who enjoys movies for the sake of entertainment. Their job is to entertain me. I am to escape to another place for 2 hours and 30 minutes and enjoy something in front of me.
Mm-hmm.
That's the point of a movie, folks. And for the time I was gone, I was escaped. I was somewhere else. I was in a very dark, scary place with Batman and Superman being very angry at each other and a very odd Lex Luthor. But here's my general impressions of it.
Odd's a good word for it.
Odd's a good word, yeah. I enjoyed it. I didn't hate it. I wasn't like, this is the best movie ever. But it did what it needed to for me, which was just be a popcorn flick. Just be a punching movie. Set up a little bit of the Justice League franchise, which they did a little bit of. But the thing
In an email. They only set it up in an email.
Yeah.
Which was... Come on, guys. Come on.
But I would also say they did some things that that definitely pulled on the nostalgia strings, right? So I remember the Death of Superman comic. I had the Tombstone comic. So a lot of those scenes at the very end were very like, wow, this is like ripping right out of the comic, right? Like this is such a strong nostalgia. And I actually kind of wish they'd done the actual fight scene between Superman and Doomsday a little bit more so it felt more pulled out of that, because it was just like, oh, I just got stabbed.
Who was Doomsday in the comics, by the way? Is he actually like a sort of mutated General Zod?
Doomsday, as I recall from the comics, was like on a meteor or an asteroid that landed on Earth, and then he just kind of went on a rampage. As I recall. So I don't remember where his origin was, but some alien outsider thing.
It says Doomsday. This is Wikipedia. Doomsday is portrayed as a deadly monster born from the depths of ancient Krypton. His creator imbued him with few feelings, mostly hate and destruction. So, okay. So he's actually like from Krypton. So it's like it's closer than you would initially expect.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
In the Superman Doomsday animated movie from like 2007, I don't even think they mentioned that Doomsday had a Kryptonian heritage.
Mm.
It was just, an alien species couldn't destroy him, so they pretty much captured him and threw him down on Earth like a toilet, flushing it down a toilet until we found him thousands of years later.
Right.
Mm. Yeah.
Weird. Okay.
So I mean, I thought, you know, from an overall movie perspective, I thought there were some really great things. I actually thought the first 20 minutes of the film were really solid, which was them kind of lacing in the destruction of Metropolis. And
I really like that opening scene. I really like that opening scene.
Yeah. I thought they just did a brilliant job in that, and they helped to set up kind of the arc of Batman and what was kind of fueling him as well. So I thought that was,
which, by the way,
good.
I thought I didn't realize that the comedian was what's his name, Daddy Wayne in this one.
Oh yeah, that was who's currently also on The Walking Dead.
I'm a season behind in The Walking Dead, but yes.
Oh yeah, he's
spoiler alert.
He's Negan in the yeah. Well, okay, either way. Cool. But yeah, so I actually thought they did a really quite good job. Like, I mean, I know everyone from the first Superman was like, oh, Superman wouldn't have destroyed everything and lots of casualties. And I get that. But you got to remember, this is a very young, immature Superman who's discovering his powers. So I think, you know, that harkens into Batman's distrust of him as well. So I thought that was quite cool and quite good. I actually think Ben Affleck did a pretty good job.
I think Ben Affleck was amazing in this.
Did a really good job as Batman, actually. I think he stole the show. And I really am excited to see his take on Batman longer, like a bigger.
Well, he's directing. He's like directing the Batman movie.
Yep.
Right. Like,
yeah.
That's awesome.
Then he got a small part in the Suicide Squad. Yeah.
So it is. He is in that.
Yep.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Cool.
Like there were times along the lines of like when we were doing the Batman stuff that I kind of want to be like, okay, just stop right there and let's spend another 20 minutes just talking about that. Or let's spend another 20 more minutes diving, like examining that information, right? When he stands in front of the Jason Todd, the Robin costume, right? And it's got the Joker graffiti all over it.
Oh, is that like, what that was? I thought it was just another Batman costume. Is it a Robin costume?
That's the Robin costume with Joker writing all over it. Dude. They're pulling from the idea that the Joker killed Robin.
Oh, dude, I didn't even pick up on that. That's cool.
Which is part of the lore, the Joker killed Jason Todd. The other question is that potentially the Joker in this universe is Jason Todd. I've listened to a lot of stuff on the Nerdist about it as well. Ooh, but
wow, I didn't hear that.
That would be rad, dude. I would be down for that.
So there's a lot of kind of rumor speculating that way. But I was like, I'm like, back it up. Tell me about that. Like, what happened there? Because this Batman is old. He's grizzled. He's tired. He looks like he's been through, you know, years of fighting crime in Gotham, right? Like, even his approach to how he dealt with, like, you know, he was branding people with the bat symbol.
Yeah.
Right? Like, he's becoming more of a vigilante Batman than, like, the greater good of Batman. So tell me how he got there. And I think that's an interesting spot.
I think the movie said that he's been doing it for 20 years. So,
yeah.
Which would put him at low 40s and, you know, for an age. Which
that's
makes
pretty
sense.
Cool. Yeah. No, I really like Batman. I think the writing in this was very, I think some of it, like, after the movie came out, I tried to avoid spoilers, but I remember seeing, like, as I was going through, like, even on, like, Tumblr or whatever, like, just seeing, like, little cartoons of, like, Spider-Man or Superman and Batman, like, talking to, like, several cartoons like this, where there's, like, oh, wait, your mom's name is Martha, too? Oh, man, we're besties now. Like, which is essentially...
Yeah.
That was, like, oh, my gosh. How did you defang and like, how did you botch that landing and destroy the ending of that fight so terribly that it was like, oh my gosh, seriously, like that is literally all that you're going to give us. And suddenly he's going to, you know, like, oh, never mind. He has a mom. Therefore it's okay.
Like, in literally one word and one sentence, you de-stripped two gladiators down to being mama's boys.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right? And you literally, like, the you could feel the energy get sucked out of the room because the entire audience is like rolling their eyes, face palming, like, oh my god, that's what you just did there.
Yeah.
Right? Because this is going pretty well. And then you pull that card.
That is when the movie fell apart for me. Like there was a lot of, and I think there was, so like starts off really awesome. Then it kind of gets bogged down in its own crap, especially with all these weird, as much as I totally loved the like trench coat Batman scene. I thought it was really cool. Had no place being in this movie, but I thought it was cool. Visually it was really cool.
See,
but
I enjoyed that scene because, you know, that's, you know, so, you know, obviously it was a dream sequence in the movie, and that actually is in the comics, you know, they have every once in a while, they'll do a run of what if scenarios that aren't canonical, but just, you know, fun to write and fun to read. And that, you know, so in the current Batman run, you know, he has a son, Damian, who is now his Robin.
Mm-hmm.
So that was what if Damian then becomes Batman? What type of Batman would he be? That was basically Damian Wayne as Batman, you know, the trench coat and the cowl.
Mm-hmm. But they didn't set it up right, is my problem with it.
They didn't. They didn't mention it.
They shot this cool scene. Wouldn't it be cool if Batman was in a trench coat in the Middle East fighting guys, and then a bunch of like dragonfly alien things attacked? Like, it had no reason to be there other than
I agree they paced it weird, but it's, people are just thinking that they made it up for no reason.
Oh,
but,
I don't think
there's a reason for this.
Yeah, for sure.
It's all part of the telegraphing of the whole dark side coming, right? Which is their version of Thanos.
Wait, what? Is that what that is?
The Omega symbol that is burnt into the ground in that scene, that is the Omega symbol associated with Darkseid.
Okay.
Those winged bat things.
Is that like also dark, that
those
weird?
Those are Darkseid minions.
And that's also, I'm assuming, justifies the weird. I'm assuming that was the Flash that appeared to him momentarily. Who was that guy? Okay.
That was the Flash.
Or as you called it, some diversity in a Mexican guy.
Yeah, it was like Speedy Gonzalez. I didn't realize it was
the Flash until I saw the movie the second time, and I'm like, that's what they did, because I didn't understand it the first time.
It was weird. Yeah, I was like, okay, is this the Flash? But again, because they're trying to do a Marvel, right? They're trying to get their Avengers. And they shoehorn in this Justice League email, which but
Marvel spent 4 years preparing us.
Yeah.
More so.
And they're trying to do it in 3 movies.
Well, and that comes down, that brings me to Wonder Woman too, right? Like Wonder Woman, hang on, let's make sure that we know who we're talking about here. Good enough. Okay. Wonder Woman. Wonder Woman, who has maybe like 5 minutes of screen time before she appears in the movie, is totally underplayed. She's getting her own movie, right? Like,
yeah, they're, I think they're done principal shooting already and they're going to post.
When does that come out then?
Pretty quick. Chris Pine is in it as well, which is why you see him.
Oh,
yeah.
I was going to say he was totally in that. So basically the slate they have. Oh, so it's June next year. It's coming. Oh, it's going to be like right after Guardians of the Galaxy comes out. That's cool. And then November is Justice League Part 1. Wow, they're really rushing this then. Okay.
Yeah, it was just 3 movies.
Justice League Part 1 is basically going to be the Assemble movie, right? Where they like hunt down each other. And okay. So we've got Suicide Squad, then Wonder Woman, Justice League Part 1, then The Flash, Aquaman, untitled DC film, Shazam. Is this still all like a go, by the way?
From my understanding of it,
it's not.
If the internet is to tell me anything.
I know that they are kind of that they're scaling back some of it. They're simplifying some of the narrative, maybe. I don't know. I liked it. I just thought like the more I came away with it, just like, oh, that was really, really weird. Especially actually after watching some of the critiques, you know, and listening to some of the critiques of it and thinking.
Well, I think the thing that we have to realize is that DC is definitely going for a very different approach than Marvel, right? And DC, everything feels much heavier and, you know, grand and theatric, and there's more weight and gravios to it, right? Where the Marvel universe is okay being a little bit more comical and funny. Like, for the love of Pete, guys, we had a talking tree and a raccoon. Like, is that going to fly in the DCU? Probably not.
Well, I'll tell you why it's... Sorry, go ahead. I'm going to let you finish. Go ahead.
But here's the thing: we as fans are expecting that. We're expecting a little bit lighter. So I know that they have had to go back to Suicide Squad and reshoot a lot more of Suicide Squad to actually kind of provide a little bit more of a fun and jovial atmosphere than what was kind of left in the taste of individuals after Batman versus Superman. Go ahead, Zach.
I was just going to say the biggest reason why the Marvel Cinematic Universe succeeds where this fails is the very simple appreciation for the fact of that these are people, these are characters, and we get to know the characters in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. I feel like I don't know anything. Like, I don't relate to Batman, I don't relate to Superman, I don't relate to Wonder Woman at the end fight scene in that movie, right? They're still super flat, don't care, whereas, you know, some of the reviews coming out about Captain America Civil War is like, this is a super intense fight scene, and what makes it super intense is the personal character moments that you have. They take the time to develop these characters, to really humanize them, to make you feel for them in a way where that movie, you know, Batman versus Superman did not make me care about anybody. Right. No, I didn't care about anyone. Like, I cared about Diane Lane, right? Mama Kent. Mm-hmm. That is who I cared about in that movie. I didn't care about anybody else. She gave a performance where I actually related to her and I cared about her, but I didn't care about Clark Kent. I didn't care about Bruce. And that's the other one, Bruce Wayne, but it was the performance. It wasn't the writing. The performance shone through, you know, the character shone through. Sorry, go ahead.
Which I think is kind of, you know, we're going to talk about Daredevil here in a couple of moments, right? But, like, that's why I love the Daredevil series on Netflix, and I think it's the absolute best Marvel that's out there currently, is because they give you 13 to 14 hours to genuinely care about these characters in a way that you have mixed feelings for, right? Frank Castle
is
not a bad guy, but he's doing bad things. But for good reasons. Like, so it's
like moving on to that, like the graveyard scene at the end of like episode 4, where he literally just sits there for like, it's like a good 5-minute monologue. And I'm sitting there like as a dad, you know, I'm just like, I'm sitting there literally in tears watching this, like, oh my gosh, this guy, you know, like I care about Frank Castle by the end of that. Right. It's so good.
Why, you know, they just do. That's why I think that is such a different spin than what, you know, Marvel's like, DC's like, well, we have Batman, we have Superman, we have those guys. We like, you don't need anything more. No, I do need more. I do, you know, like the first 20 minutes of Batman versus Superman was good because you told me why Batman is angry. You told me what was driving him. We're getting a little bit more information about his backstory, about why this is so important to him. But then that's why my statement was before, like everything else I want you to spend more time about because I want to know your backstory. Whereas in where it's Punisher and Daredevil and even Elektra, we spent more time finding out why the Punisher is the way he is on Netflix than we did what's driving Batman.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Right? Like that's like think about that.
Yeah. And the thing is that those two characters are actually like especially the Zack Snyder version of Batman is very similar to the Punisher, which is a fundamental problem too in itself. But the fact that like the Punisher, it actually pulled it off. Whereas Batman didn't, I think that's kind of a problem.
Yep. Before we fully segue into Daredevil, maybe let's do a quick roundtable of any final thoughts. I want to lead with this. If he's dead, leave him dead. Don't show me floating dirt. That was a shitty move from a cinematography perspective and from a hook. They should have literally just left the casket scene there, thrown some dirt on it, and then Batman and Wonder Woman turned and walked away. None of this floating dirt stuff, because that was bull. Let him be dead.
Yeah.
At least for what we need him to be dead for.
Yeah. What brought him back in the comics?
In the comics, they did like a 10-story arc of him because he spends time in heaven or purgatory with his dad.
I can totally see Zack Snyder doing that, dude.
Yeah. And then during that purgatory that he was gone for, they introduced four different Superman versions. They introduced the cyborg Superman, the Man of Steel Superman.
Wasn't there like an electricity one?
Yeah, there was kind of like this electric, kind of futuristic looking Superman. There was this guy that was like the Man of Steel, literally like a guy dressed in steel. And then there was like a Superboy. And the challenge was which of those four was the real Superman if he was to come back. And then like later, it turns out none of them are really him. But like Superman comes out with a new hairdo and some gray hair and he's like, and I'm back, y'all.
Mm.
But they ran that story arc for, I think it was like a year, actually. I remember that. That one I actually collected a lot of. I read a lot of those ones.
Cool. Right on. Yeah.
Was, Jesse, final thoughts on?
Yeah, Jesse, how did you think? What did you think about the movie, man?
Yeah, overall, I enjoyed it. You know, having seen Man of Steel, I knew in advance what I was going to get into. So I wasn't surprised that it was the type of movie it ended up being. Now, I wasn't expecting a Marvel happy-go-lucky movie. It doesn't have to be. You know, it can be. You know, I can enjoy other movies other than Marvel movies. But I am looking forward to Civil War next week. And I think even though Affleck was a so-so Daredevil 10 years ago, I think he was probably the best Bruce Wayne and Batman we've had since Michael Keaton.
Mm.
Since then, I think actors have been good at one or the other. I don't think we've ever had one that's been good at both.
Yeah, totally agree.
So I can't wait to see more from him.
Nice. Right, sorry, now. One last thing. I know we're trying to segue out. I'm sorry, Zach. No. I just need a quick roundtable on this one. Lex Luthor?
Oh, we didn't even talk about him, dude.
No. Basically, Mark Zuckerberg as an evil genius.
That's exactly what I said to the guy I was with. Like, it was a bunch of us guys that went. Yeah, it's exactly what I thought. It was absolutely Mark Zuckerberg. If he was like an evil genius,
evil.
Yeah, it's exactly what I thought. It worked is the thing, right? Like, here's the thing is that I liked the portrayal again. The portrayal could have been awesome if the writing was better, right? Mm. I think given the right script, that portrayal could have been great because he had that sort of, you didn't know what he was doing. He was weird. And I was like, for a big part of the movie, I was like, okay, are they actually going to like get down to his real motivation? Or was his plan really to blackmail Superman into fighting Batman because he thought it would be cool for them to fight? Or because he just wants to kill Superman because, like, I didn't get the motivation for him. We needed a scene with Lex Luthor that was similar to the scene that Batman got, right? Why does Lex Luthor hate Batman? We don't know. We never got a scene explaining that. And so he was like Loki, you know, like just,
yeah.
I'm just doing it because it's weird, right? And that didn't make any sense to me. So I personally actually really like the portrayal of him, but he didn't like it wasn't it was the fact that I didn't really understand the character. It wasn't the actual performance that bothered me. I don't know. What do you guys think? I could be off my rocker here.
Granny's peach tea. That's all I have to say.
And that whole thing with like, yeah, he's a cripple in a wheelchair. That's actually a bomb. That was a little weird. Right, like that whole.
Yeah, that one. Like, tell me, like, you guys saw that one coming, right?
I didn't actually. Because
really?
I didn't because.
Oh my God.
If that was actually the case, here's the thing: is that they put so much time into that senator, governor, whoever she was, character, that I was like, that I didn't think that they would actually kill her off because of how much they were how much time the movie dedicated to her. And so for them to just kill her willy nilly was like, well, then you wasted so much time. If you were just going to blow something up, then why did you spend all that time building this character who we didn't have enough time to care about her? She wasn't important enough to care about. So why did you spend that much time around her? You could have literally just cut out all the other scenes with her and had her just be in that one scene, and it would have been a better use of their time.
Snyder's taking lessons from Michael Bay.
Yeah, I don't know. Whatever it was, man. Well,
that scene had to be important, right? Because he was at the Senate, right? He's there. He's trying to be peaceful. Things blow up. It's kind of like this, like, okay, seriously, like, I'm trying to do something good here, and like, it's just going for naught.
Yeah.
Right. So that scene was very important, and the fact that Lex Luthor was a catalyst in that scene was important as well. So
no, I thought it was important. I think that they just said they had so much fluff around that scene. Right. Like, yeah. Oh, well, I'm not actually going to approve your import of this rock that we're still going to bring in anyway. So I don't know why we even bothered talking about it. You know, like all of that kind of stuff was just like it was fluff. It was not necessary at all. Right. It was just there. And they could have, it was 2.5 hours long, and it was 2.5 hours of stuff that really didn't make sense. They could have taken the time, you know, that they, about, you know, discussing Krypton or, you know, kryptonite imports, and use that to describe the, you know, show a flashback of Lex Luthor and why he hates Superman, and explore that more instead of weird mystery that wasn't really a mystery, you know, like, I don't know.
Then I heard today that the home release will be 181 minutes long, so just over 3 hours, and will be rated R.
Okay. Yeah, I knew that it was going to be rated R. I didn't realize it was going to be that much longer, though. That's crazy. Why would you want it to be that long? Like, what are they? Did they say specifically what's going to be there?
I didn't hear. I haven't heard what has been not cut.
Wow.
Okay. 20 minutes of sex, eh, Tam?
Yeah, here we go. So an ultimate edition of the film, this is from Wikipedia, an ultimate edition of the film will be featuring extended content, will be released on home media. The version received an R rating for more violence than the PG-13 version, and will be 30 minutes longer. That's all it says. That's dumb. Anyways, Daredevil. Let's move on to Daredevil, shall we? Here's some of this. Which is always still really good. Anyway, because we got to be mysterious, right? Okay, so Daredevil. What do you guys think? I binge watched it opening weekend again, like I usually do with these. We kind of talked about it already. What are your guys' thoughts overall with this?
I thought it was a really good season. I mentioned how much I really enjoyed Daredevil before. Mm-hmm. I think, again, they spend the 13 hours, you know, really getting you to understand Matt Murdock in the first time, what drives him to be Daredevil, some of the challenges that he has kind of spiritually in his faith. They explore that so much more in the second series, which I really appreciate. And that's such a contrary to what we're seeing from Stick, Punisher, and Elektra, right? And I think how he is kind of like, he wants to, you know, this is my moral code and I cannot bend and break this code. And you know, and interestingly enough, you know, kind of stealing that line of like, you're just one bad day away, mm-hmm. right? You're just one bad day away from me, which interestingly enough is also a line stolen from The Killing Joke. The Joker says to the Batman, mm-hmm. That you're basically just one bad day away from being me.
And when that comes out on home video, it'll also be rated R.
Correct. That's right.
Yeah.
So I think they did a great job. I actually thought John Berthold's performance of
Bernthal?
The Punisher Berthold's performance of the Punisher was really good.
Yeah.
I thought he just did a spot on job. The woman they got to play Elektra, I was a little less impressed with.
Mm-hmm.
But I still thought she did quite good. I also felt like the series took this kind of like weird arc where for the first four episodes we really dealt with the Punisher and we just kind of like stopped. Oh, and here's our second villain kind of thing. And it was like, oh, wait, I'm sorry. Are we not going to go back to Punisher? Because you've done spent a lot of time setting that up. And of course, you know, three episodes later, the Punisher reemerges. But like kind of just a weird flow of the structure.
Yeah.
I also thought bringing back in Kingpin was very cool.
Oh, I love that.
And Vincent D'Onofrio just does such a spot on job. In his performance. But then I also think the thing I rather enjoy that that sometimes the superhero genre doesn't really discuss that much is the sacrifices of one life versus the other. And we saw that in Matt Murdock's case of the sacrifice of Murdock and Nelson, the law firm, as he was out trying to save, you know, New York City, and Foggy, and what is her name?
Karen.
Foggy and Karen are trying to basically hold down the fort, so to say, and what that has cost him, right? Because everything there has to be a cost somewhere, right? Whether it's the life is a cost, whether it is the financial, like there's a cost. And I thought that was really, really quite cool how they showed that. I don't necessarily think that the relationship with Matt and Karen had to come up to fruition as early as it did. I think you could have left that tension there for a couple of seasons before being like, oh, and by the way, we're sucking face. And then, you know, like, I think that would she could have seen Electra and been like, there's a woman in her bed, and it still had the same impact to her without being like, oh, by the way, five episodes ago, we were sucking face.
Yeah.
So I think that there were a couple things there that they could have done a little bit better. But overall, like the thing that always frustrates me when I watch Netflix Marvel is I think of all the other Marvel shows that should be on Netflix and how much wicked better those shows would be.
Can you imagine if there was like an actual Avengers Netflix series where we got this much character exploration in the Avengers? It would be great.
I mean, here's what I would say. I would love to see Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. on Netflix as a Netflix original.
Yeah.
Because I think that could do some incredible things with it. Because, again, they're not confined by the same degree of ratings, right? There's not the same rating stuff, right? Like, I mean, you could make that really gritty, right? Where I think the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. series should be a lot grittier than, like, this very fluff that it is. And I think actually, to be honest, it's actually turned me off of network television Marvel shows after I've seen Jessica Jones and Daredevil.
Yeah.
And I am super excited to see Luke Cage. And again, these are – so going into the entire – this Defenders universe, the only character I sort of-ish knew was Daredevil. And I only knew it because of a shitty Ben Affleck movie.
Mm-hmm.
So I had no skin vest in this game. I'm like, I could go without. But I was like, no, I'm going to give this a go. And they sucked me into their first season. Jessica Jones, I didn't know anything about, but I'm like, wow, you sucked me into that season. And the introduction of Luke Cage. I don't know much about Luke Cage, but I'm like, other than the guy wears a gold shirt and looks like he's out of the 70s, like from what the original cartoon comic depiction has, I am super wanting to see that. And then Iron Fist is starting shooting soon as well, right? Like, they're building a cinematic universe.
Iron Fist is going to be at the Expo, hey? The actor.
Yeah.
Man, I'm tempted to see what he's got.
Yeah, yeah. I haven't been a big comic collector, you know, growing up, but I did try to watch all the cartoons as they come out, and you know, I haven't even heard of Luke Cage or Iron Fist until the recent iteration of the Ultimate Spider-Man.
Hmm. Yeah, that's actually a pretty...
They kind of form a team along with Nova and White Tiger.
I kind of like that TV show, actually, that iteration of that, where it's like Spider-Man and Luke Cage and Iron Fist and White Tiger and Nova, right? I like that.
Yeah.
That's a pretty cool series. It's pretty good.
Yeah, the current season of that series is completely different.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty much all... You know, like a team of five different Spider-Men.
Oh, really? I need to. Is that on Netflix yet? Because I kind of need to.
No, I don't think it is.
Yeah. But so anyway, the one thing I think I alluded to this a while ago when we talked about it on the show, but there's a little rule. Do you guys know what Chekhov's gun is? Like, you probably know. Chekhov's gun is a rule in storytelling, specifically like, in this case, like in TV or in movies or whatever, that if you show a gun in the first act or at any time, if you show a gun, then you need to use it in an effective way in the third act. Right. And this TV or this series had a serious violation of Chekhov's Gatling gun or whatever it was, right? Where in the marketing and the promotion and all that stuff, he has the huge, what is that, a minigun? Is that what that's called? like the huge Gatling gun thing, whatever it is. They showed it in the marketing. They showed it in like the shed in like the second to last episode. And then like the one thing about Daredevil season two was that Punisher went out with a whimper in this, where it's just like, he's just sitting on the top of the building, popping off a few, you know, there's an entire rooftop full of ninjas. And I'm like, yes, he's going to show up and he's going to have that huge gun and he's going to mow down some ninjas. That's what I want. And he shows up and he pops off a few ninjas with his sniper rifle. And I was like, are you kidding me? You totally could have had him mow down ninjas right now. And instead you had a sniper rifle. So that was the one thing that I was like, oh, that's a bummer. But other than that, I thought I really did like it. Elektra was a little bit not as cool as some of the rest of them either, but it'll be interesting to see what they do in, I guess I wonder if Elektra will come back for Defenders and she'll be like one of the bad guys in that. That could be cool.
Yeah. Was there an end scene credit at the end of the final episode?
It was a Luke Cage promo.
Oh, was there? Okay.
I don't know if it was actually at the end of that. I can put it in the chat here. It's very short. Luke Cage official trailer. It's super duper short, but you can watch that. I'll put it in the chat so that you can watch it.
Yeah, thank you.
Where did it go? It's super duper short. Yeah, there you go.
Thank you.
But it's that's coming out in, when does that come out?
September, I think.
September. September. Yeah, September. That's awesome. I'm looking forward to that too. Right on. Cool. Are you there you go.
Oh, sorry, my bad.
No, you're good. So yeah, anything else, guys? Are we I think that about covers it, doesn't it? Anything else that came out that we didn't talk about?
No, I think those are two things. I think, I don't know, if I was to invest my money to say, like, where should I invest my time, my watch and eyeballs, I'd go Daredevil first.
Yep, absolutely. Yep. Very cool. As well, I'm just going to tease something. Go ahead.
I do like how they, you know, a lot of these almost background characters, but at least side characters, are making joint appearances between the series. So, Jessica Jones... Like the nurse in the hospital, Jessica Jones and Daredevil.
Yeah, no, I do like that a lot too, for sure. And I thought it was interesting that he shows up, or that he ends up getting a job at the law firm that what's her face is in, from Jessica Jones.
Yeah,
I thought that was a nice touch. But yeah, anyway. I do want to tease very quickly. There is a project that is probably coming together at some point soon. So if you guys are excited about Civil War and the Marvel Cinematic Universe in general and superhero movies and all that, there is a project in the works. I'm not going to say much more than that, but it is a thing that is on its way. So
Wow, that's a way to tease something.
Yeah, something. Stay tuned.
Death Star.
Yeah, something. Dark Side. There you go.
And I thought Nintendo talking about NX was vague.
Wow. Yeah, you got it. Yep. So if you like Marvel, then stay tuned. That's all I'm gonna say. All right, guys. Here, where's my music? One sec. It's always good when I just sit here and vamp while I find music. If you guys want to find the show, of course. You can find the show on iTunes. Here we go. There we go. Perfect. If you guys want to find the show, you can find us on social media, Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram at Nintendo Dads. Of course, all the other stuff, blah, 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 VGTribune.com. Change the world on iTunes, and we will see you next time.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to Nintendo Dads.
Homebrew says thank you for listening to Nintendo Dads.
Yeah, I actually played it, and you talked over it.
Oh,
good job.
Did you?
That's fine.